Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. One word from you changes everything. In this moment, we welcome you. There is a life here this morning who depends on this word. There is a heart that will depend on this seed. Father, may the target not be missed. As the word comes forth, take away sickness. Take away diseases. Anything that has been a concern to anybody here during the week. They couldn't sleep at night. Kept waking up. Toasting and turning. Father, may a judgment come on that thing as I preach the word. Every door that has been shut and we keep pushing doesn't want to open. This morning, by the word of God, Father, deposit a key in the hand of somebody here. And may that door finally open in the name of Jesus. Anybody here that is harassed, molested, oppressed by evil spirits, you are being set free right now. You are being set free right now. You are being set free right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your joy is restored. Your peace is restored. The grace of God is upon your life. In Jesus' precious name. I decree anything that went wrong is turning to going right. Anything that went wrong is turning to going right. It shall work for you. It shall work for you. It shall work for you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, get excited. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Please be seated. You are welcome. Amen. Help me welcome the person next to you. Tell them, welcome to your multiplication hour. This is the hour of multiplication. This is your multiplication hour. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that this is your year of multiplication? Amen. Well, we have entered the last week of our 21 days fasting, or shall I say our 21 days of multiplication. Amen. Hallelujah. Be excited. Many, many good things are coming your way. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do I say this? You serve a good God. The Bible says a tree cannot produce like a fruit that is different from it. So every good tree produces good fruits. Now, if God is good, it means goodness is coming out of God. And anybody that is near God, close to God, in God, for God, anything good that is coming out of God is meeting you practically now in the name of Jesus. So we are left with just 1 week. Who would have thought? When we started 2 weeks ago, who would have thought? But here we are, stronger than ever. You know, yesterday I was thinking and I said, Lord, I think I need to fast more throughout the year. It's so nice. When you start it, it's a bit shaky, but you know, once your body adjusts itself, I'm talking to the people that are not faking the fast. Okay, people, you eat there, come back, come and... No, I'm not... I'm talking to people that are really fasting. You know, a time comes when the Spirit of God actually takes. You see, all you are doing during the fasting is you are trying to calm down so you can hear. That's all. The human spirit is so agitated and disturbed that it's difficult to hear. So basically what God does using the fast is to calm you down. It's like troubled water and the water, the dirt is settling down so that you can see clearer. That's why fasting is so powerful. It transforms your life. Causes you to see things you couldn't see just yesterday. May you not fake your fasting. And except if you are taking notes, anybody that is sending messages while I'm preaching, don't make me speak a word on your phone. Don't make me say something against your phone. If I'm preaching and you are sending WhatsApps, you are talking to other people, you have no respect for the presence of God, don't make me say something right now. Or if I say it, it will happen to that phone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So as I'm teaching, refrain from anything that will become a distraction for you. God is a God of order. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise right there. So, we have entered the last week of our fasting. This shall be a much better week for you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is going to do greater things. Amen? Amen. So, the fasting is taking place every day. Like Sun City here. Have you been having a good time, Sun City people? Yes. You don't sound excited. I'm asking, have you been having a good time with Lady Pastor Pumi during your sessions? Yes. Has Rebecca been having a good time with yes. Pastor Peter? Yes. Has Lidak been having a good time with Pastor Wangile? You know, it's happening in Lidak. I can tell you. And you know, Pastor Wangile is doing wonders by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Has Patsima been having a good time with Pastor Lawrence? Is Dr. Hilda in the house? Has Rustenberg been having a good time with Dr. Hilda? Wow. Have I omitted it? Do you know, there will be a time where I'll be forgetting branches. That I will say some branches and forget other branches. That time is coming. For now, I can't forget. Because we are just starting. But it's coming. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 30, verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them. They shall not be few. And I will glorify them. They shall not be small. Holy Spirit, we don't want to assume that we know what you want to say. Please make us sensitive to your presence. Wash away anything that is not of you. Cause us to stay focused. Minister to our hearts. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has given us a word for 2020. And the word is, it is our year of multiplication. When you receive such a word for yourself, like we saw on the 31st night, it works. But it, number one, has to be believed. It has to be fought, and it has to be run with. Now, I want to tell you something that Jesus said before I teach on what I want to teach.
Jesus spoke about four groups of people. He said, when I send my word, it's like I give a sower some seeds to go and sow. A seed has the capacity to produce a great harvest. But it doesn't come as a great harvest, it comes as a seed, just a small thing. When it falls to the ground, it finds four types of soils. The first type is a way-by-side soil. This person receives the word, gets excited, but before they get on the taxi rank, Satan has stolen the word from them. They don't remember anything that was said that day in the church. The word is stolen. We know that Satan is a thief, but there is something specific Jesus told us that Satan is a specialist in stealing. The word. There must be something precious about the word for Satan to be going after the word. There must be something special. He steals it. So you can see Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 9. Oh, there we go again. Same scripture. Do you realize that Satan has been stealing every new revelation that comes out of there? The second group is, the Bible calls them rocky ground. Their heart is full of rocks. The seed is sown, but the seed cannot grow. Their heart is full of rocks inside. When I talk of multiplication, they like it. It excites them. But they don't even have the capacity to believe that this thing can happen. Their heart is so hurt. So many wounds in their heart. Can't believe the word. The third soil, a thorny ground. This group receives the word. They get very excited about the word. Very excited. As a matter of fact, the seed falls to the ground and it starts growing. But the Bible says, out of nowhere, thorns start coming. And those thorns come and they shock the word. What are thorns? Worry. Concerns. What about the school fees? What about my future? I'm getting old. What about this year again? What will happen? All those thoughts that start rising inside your heart, do you know what they do? They are crushing the little seed that you got on Sunday. They are crushing it. Crushing it. Grinding it like powder. By the time they are done, you are even more worried than before you went to church. Yeah. But then the Bible talks of a good ground. People who received the word, protected the word until it started growing. And those people saw the result of that word that was prophesied. Some saw 30%. Some saw 60% of multiplication. And another group saw actually 100%. I pray you will be in that group. Those that will see the full manifestation of what God is saying when he says multiplication. That you confess 2020 is your year of multiplication will hold no bearing. It is what you believe in your heart that matters. What you believe. What do you believe? If I were you, I would be meditating on Jeremiah 13, 19 to 21 every day. I mean, I'm serious. What is God saying to me in Jeremiah 13, 19 and 21? What is God saying? I'm not saying what is God saying to the church. What is he saying to me? What is my portion in that verse? I will be on it. And I will say, Lord, speak to me till I see that you have spoken to me regarding my ministry, regarding my relationships. Like, what is multiplication? Now, let me show you what God revealed to me. Just yesterday, on that very same verse. 19. God says to me, my son, when I speak of multiplication, what I mean to say is that anything that is few can become more. They say, I shall multiply them. They shall not be few. It means they are currently few. So he says to me, look in the church. Anything that is currently few, let the multiplication mandate target that thing. And I started looking. What is few in our church? The first thing that is few in our church is jobs. Few jobs. Few people with decent jobs. Multiplication means when the multiplication agenda of God is fully realized, it affects the jobs. It affects the jobs. So you start having, if the multiplication agenda of God fully materializes in this church this year, there will be plenty jobs. Therefore, because I believe God, God is not a liar. There, I therefore decree that there shall be a multiplication of jobs at ABC this year. Yeah. What else is few in our church? Few businesses. Few people with businesses. What does that mean? It means a lot of people cannot be employed because very few opportunities are created. They shall not be few. Now, there are few businesses because of the multiplication mandate. A person here could believe, Father, we only have few. Maybe we can count 5 people that have business in this church. How can that be? And you are there? Multiplication agenda. I therefore decree and declare, there shall be a brakatose katela mandola shapadoge. There shall be multiplication of businesses this year in the name of Jesus. What else is few? Few decent people that can get married. That's the truth. If I look at the guys, only few are marriageable. Shh. If I look at the girls, only few, well, shall I say, a lot are available. There is an error in the system. This year, multiplication agenda is affecting the marriages in the name of Jesus Christ. There shall not be few. There shall not be few. There shall not be few. So anything that is few must be affected if you believe the word. That is if you believe the word. It shall be affected. What is few in this church? Few moments of joy in your life. There are some people, they get happy once a month. That is when it's a good month, because on Monday, they don't get happy at all, the whole month. Now, if a good month, they get happy once or twice. The rest of the month, they are troubled, they are crying, they are worried, they are go up and down, up and down, up and down. That is few. Multiplication agenda, I'm sending you in that department. That this year, your moments of joy must be greater than your moments of sorrow in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, Are you listening to me? Yes. Are you listening to the word that is coming out of my mouth? I'm saying this is what God told me yesterday. I didn't know this myself. He told me, he says to me, this is what I mean by multiplication. Anything that is small and few is attracting the multiplication. Receive it. That you are only happy once a month. 25th, when you are happy, you are working. 25th. For a few hours, a few minutes, little happiness. Then you start getting SMS. Puke, 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 puke. Every SMS, your heart is sinking. Your heart is, sinking. Hey. The rest of the month, you are troubled. What type of life is that? Receive multiplication life in the name of Jesus. Receive multiplication life in the name of Jesus. This year you are multiplying in every area. You are multiplying in every area. You are multiplying in every area. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. But who causes multiplication? Like we started saying last week, multiplication is not the result of lack. Multiplication has got nothing to do with your degree. Though your degree is important, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school. You should go to school. And you should finish school. And you should do well in school. Can I tell you something? People that don't go to school are dangerous people. Yeah. Every strike you see in South Africa, every single strike, burning of tires on the roads. Do you think this thing is happening with professional? Even when they were burning university, it was not the student burning the university. The students had run away. They had run away. They couldn't stay. It is this people that have got nothing to do with their lives. Didn't finish school. Now they are angry and jealous at the few that are in school. People who don't finish school don't think far. They don't have discipline in their lives. Because it takes discipline to finish a year coming to school every day, going home, waking up early. It takes a lot of discipline to do such things. So, school does not just bring knowledge. It brings character. That's why when you don't go to school, you are a hazard to society. Because you don't have character, you don't have discipline, and to top it all, you don't have knowledge. You are dangerous. These are the people that can just take a knife and stab a very important person because they don't think. I mean, some people just smoke nyaope, came with a gun, and gun like a dube, just like that. One of the shining stars of South Africa disappeared in a second. Because nobody is thinking, they just take a gun, shoot, poop, 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 poop. Do you know what you are shooting? Do you understand what you just shot? You're not thinking. And you are shooting him just to take 3,000 from his, maybe 100 rent from his. But the man you have shot, you have destroyed a family. You have destroyed his wife. You have destroyed his children. You don't understand. Like that's when you don't think far. And these are people that didn't go to school. Jesus. Yeah. Go tell them I said it. I see you finishing your school in the name of Jesus. I see you doing well in school in the name of Jesus. Those of you that drop school, go back.
go back.
There is nothing wrong in going back.
Go back. Yeah.
Go and learn multiplication. Learn subtraction. Learn addition. And see the difference between the three.
Because some of you, and even when I say multiplication, because you didn't go to school, you see, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
You don't understand multiplication. It takes education to understand multiplication.
We've been learning, therefore, the pillars. In any house that does not have pillars, that house cannot stay. It won't last. Pillars are strong fortifications that causes a house to last more than 100 years. We have architects in the building. They know. Pillars. They strengthen, and a word from God has to fall on something for it to stay and last. So God has given us 7 pillars. In that verse you see there are 7 pillars inside. To understand what God is trying to say and how will it happen. Do you see? So we saw already, and we're going to come back to them throughout the year. We saw already the pillar of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. This year, choose to be a thanksgiver. Refuse to be a complainer. It won't take you far. Have a good attitude. Speak life. Expect the best of God this year. Don't be among those ones who are expecting things to go wrong. Don't be like that. That's why things are going wrong. I'm telling you now. When you wake up in the morning, command the day. Say, today will be a good day. Today is another day of multiplication. I'm expecting favor. I'm expecting grace. I'm expecting people to go out of their way to help me. God has already lined up my destiny helpers. They are on my way. They will see me through. Every challenge that comes, I have the capacity to overcome it. Like you are just...
When you are like that, even Satan respects you.
Don't let your day run. You see, a day is like a sea. And your life is like a boat. You take a boat and you place in the sea and you don't determine where it should go. It will end in the wrong place. When the day starts, your boat is on the sea. And you need to take your tools and start directing. No, not that way. This way, like this. Somebody will come and say a wrong word. Now the boat wants to go this way. He says, no, I say no. We're going to forgive and we're going to forget. And we are going this way. And we are going this way. And before you know it, you will reach your destination in the name of Jesus.
Refuse to let your boat go everywhere. Some of us that you just wake up, you lie on the boat. And the boat says, where? I say, anywhere. I mean, let's go. Let's go. And then you just end up in a place with crocodiles.
You shall never end in a place with crocodiles.
The second key, the second pillar is the pillar of praise and worship. Hallelujah. We saw that when the praises go up, the glory of God comes down. May you become a worshiper in 2020. May worship be like a river that flows out of you. Yes. Thanksgiving and worship. You see God everywhere, in every way. How will God not bless such a person? How will God not bless such a person? A person who's always thanksgiving and is always worshiping. Hey, there is nothing God will withhold from such a person. And that's why I want you to become, because that is the first thing that attracts God. The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. That is how you enter. Otherwise, you can never enter. You can never enter. And that's why many people are not in. God knows that you are struggling, but that is not what he wants to hear. Lord, I thank you for my life. I thank you for my children. I thank you for a roof above my head. Be thankful. Not sorrowful. It shall be well with you. I say it shall be well with you. This is your year in the name of Jesus. Number three has been where God has kind of got us stuck a bit. The pillar of the presence of God. He says in that verse, I will multiply them. So I was telling you that multiplication is not the result of your personal effort. Multiplication is the result of God's presence. It is God who multiplies people. His presence. So if there is anything that you should desire this year, anything you should seek, anything you should be after, the presence of God. The presence of God. I do not deny that you're coming to church. I've seen you many times. What I don't know is if God is in you. That is the one nobody knows. Now, in my little study on this subject of multiplication, I've discovered that what changes a story is the presence or the absence of God. That is what the story changes. Anybody's story can change depending on either the presence of God or the absence of God. Let's start our teaching, therefore, quickly. Exodus 33, verse 15. Then he said unto him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. If your presence does not go up with us, I don't want to go anywhere you are not. Moses is talking to God. I told you last week, God already gave Moses a rod to do wonders. God has blessed Moses' ministry. He has the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud. He is surrounded. But Moses is saying, Lord, look, if your presence does not go with me, you might as well call the trip off. I'm not going. I like the NLT translation as well. It says, then Moses said, if you don't personally, if you don't personally go with me, or with us, don't make us leave this place. In other words, I will not leave this place until I am 100% sure. Not an angel. You personally. Personally. So for Moses, the criteria for movement is not money. Oh, if you pay me well, I'll come. No. No, if you increase the salary, listen, that is what, you see, believers are running like this, following money. If your presence does not come with me, personally, I'm not going there. How many people today are in places, like I was saying last week, and God is not there? My son Lawrence here, he knows, one time I made a decision, I got a property, and really, to be honest with you, God was not with me when I was doing those things. I tell you, the trauma of my life started. Hey, I suffered. I am your pastor. I suffered. Seriously. And God says to me, I wanted to teach you a lesson. Never rush
into anything without checking me first. And Lawrence can tell, one of the times he said, hey, daddy, it's not easy. No, it's not easy. He tried to carry something, the thing almost fell on him. He said, hey, I almost died today, it's not easy. I laugh. I said, I know. It's been tough. Mm-hmm. I pray that the main thing you will be after is his presence. Amen. Before you say yes to anything. Not the way we do. We check. What do you check when you are making a decision? What do you check? He said, if your presence is not with me, I'm not going. When you are dating a person, what do you check? You are finding us. We look at all the wrong things. Except the presence of God in the life of the person. You look at hair, look at nails. The very same nail, the person will be using them to finish you. Just now. You see those nails you like? Oh, I like her nails. They will turn into crows. Like this. If the presence of God is not there, he said, oh, I like his hands. He has strong hands. He will be using them to punch you. May that never be your story in the name of Jesus Christ. The presence of God should be your number one criteria. I see your hair, but is God there? Do you have God? How come I don't sense God around this person? You know, God gave you a spirit. And if you are spiritual, you will sense things. And you'll be in a place, you say, no, something is just unsettling me. I don't know why. Everything looks fine. But I'm not okay. I'm not flowing. I'm not just flowing. Don't take it lightly. Don't undermine it. God is speaking. You're trying to explain why the person is behaving like this. And you never have peace, even after your own explanations. Why do you keep insisting? God is not there. God is not there. But it's not left to you to decide because he will never force you. He's not there. He's not there. One of the reasons why Moses was so successful is because he had God all the time. All the time. Then now Moses is dead and Joshua has to take over from Moses. Big and mighty Moses. He's gone. Then Joshua is now giving his ordination speech. From today, I shall be your leader. Do everything I say. Follow me. Hey! Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 17. Not John. Joshua 1, 17. Joshua 1, 17. Let's look at what the people told Joshua after his nice speech. The people told Joshua, listen, we will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. Tell your neighbor, obedience is not a problem. As for obedience, we will obey. Fully. We will obey. But, you know, just make sure that God be with you as he was with Moses. That is our only condition. Listen, we're not rebellious. We're not intending to fight you. We will obey. Anything you say, we will follow. The same way we followed Moses, same order of obedience. Only one condition. Make sure that God is with you. Every problem you are encountering is saying, I am ready to obey. If you say mountain move, I will move. I don't mind. I will move. I can obey. Just make sure that God is with you. The presence of God is what causes obedience to flow.
either human obedience or obedience of circumstances. Issues of life are not intimidated by your diplomas, but they fear God. Jesus is in the boat sleeping, and the storm starts raging all around. Peter is there. Andrew is there. All the 12 disciples are running, pouring water, and they don't know what to do. Finally, they go and call the presence. The presence comes. One word. Peace. Be still. Obedience. Do you know that being broke is a spirit? And it can obey. Do you know that fights in a marriage every day is a spirit? Like you are never happy for a week. There must be a fight. It's a spirit. And that thing can obey if God is with you. We will obey the same way we obey Pastor Pascal. The same way we obey this great man of God. We will obey. No problem. Just make sure that God is with you. That is our only condition. Because we don't obey your voice, we obey the voice of God inside you. Can I tell you something? There is a pastor I heard preach. He says one day he was preaching, and after preaching, he started praying for the people. He will lay hands on this one. Lay hands. Lay hands. Lay hands. Lay hands. He kept on laying hands on people. Laying hands on people. And there was a sister in the church. God opened her eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. All of the sudden, as the pastor is laying hands on the people, this sister, God opens her eyes, and the pastor disappears in front of her. And she sees Jesus laying hands. Jesus is laying hands. He said, what? Everybody is seeing the pastor laying hands. Meanwhile, it is Jesus inside the pastor. And there was a sister in that line who had a breast cancer. She had a lump, and it was a cancer. She didn't tell anybody. She also came on the line. The pastor just lay. Actually, when he got near to the place where the sister, that's the Lord opened the eyes of his, and then she just saw how Jesus laid hands on the lady. And then he, like, it happened so fast, and then it was him again. And it later, when he calls the testimony, she comes, oh, you know, I was feeling a lump here, and it's gone. It's gone. But she doesn't tell them it was cancer because she is not sure. So she goes to the hospital the next day. And they say, we don't find even one trace of the cancer. So who was laying hands? Not the pastor. The cancer does not obey the pastor. The cancer obeys the presence of God inside the pastor. Understand multiplication. The key of multiplication is the presence of God. Anything that can bring the presence of God in your world is very important. Now somebody here is saying, Pastor, I am not Moses. Moses had a spectacular calling. He saw the burning bush. I've never seen any burning bush. How can God be with me? This thing you are talking about, isn't it that it's for the chosen few? How, is it possible that the creator of the universe, sit properly, Mike. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. You know, the creator of the universe can come and dwell with you? Is it possible that the God of the universe can come to you? Pastor, I don't think you are serious. I mean, I'm not ordained pastor. I'm not appointed. How can God be with me? Who am I? Acts 10, 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. My God. I see. Sometimes I don't see clearly, but this one is clear. There are things I'm confused about, but this one, I see very clearly that God is not a racist. All my life, I thought God is racist. I'm telling you the truth. I believed it. I believe that there are some people God loves more than other people. I believed it. And I know many of you believe it. I believed, especially our brothers from the other side in Europe, I believe that God loved those people especially. He has endowed them with everything. He has abandoned us. Yeah. Until I came across Acts 10:34. God is not racist. God knows no color. No tribes. It is you and me that are stuck in these things. Yeah, it is us. This is Zulu. We are the one with those things. God is not into those things. He doesn't know those things at all. This one is white. He doesn't know white. He doesn't know black. He only knows the blood of Jesus, the color of his son. For God to answer you, everything he wants to see is the color of the blood on you. He's not interested in, Lord, you know, by the way, I'm from the Motsepe's family, and you know, I'm just saying it in passing. I mean, I know it's not a, I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, I know you know everything, but I just thought I should mention that, you know, and I studied in Harvard University, shut up. You don't understand God. You know, when we are talking like that, he's asking the angel, what is this guy talking about? What is he saying? What is he talking about? I don't understand anything he's talking about. May you believe it. May you believe that your God is no respecter of nobody. Write it down somewhere. God is not racist. Write it down. It will help you someday. Especially those of us that are justifying laziness and mediocrity, and we want to justify our poor state, and we want to use the fact that God prefers certain people than other people. Meanwhile, you are just lazy. God shows no favoritism. It means God has no favorite. We are the ones singing, I want to be your favorite child. He didn't say you are his favorite child. Listen. We are the one making the request. Yes, please. And the request can be accepted.
Yes, please. We hear you say.
But everybody starts at the same level. Nobody was born with 5 years already on their account. When you are born, 0 year. Who here was born and it was already 3 years when he was born? He didn't go out. He doesn't exist. We all start day zero. Everybody here. There is a day you started. Everybody, white, blacks. Have you seen maybe a watcher? Hello. I'm just here. No. Everybody, if you go to the ward, the labor ward, you will hear white baby cry, Indian baby cry, African baby cry. Everybody's crying. We start the same way. But whether we will cry at the end depends on how you run. We all cry the first day, but we don't all cry the last day. depending on how you run your journey. Everybody start with grade RR, if you are normal. RR. But between RR to 12, it depends on what you do. The Ministry of Education has never said, guys, you see, we have decided commonly that all the swanas are cut off from, you will just push from grade R to grade 5. After grade 5, if you are a swana, you are out. They've never said that. Everybody can pass. It's available. It is you who decide. You see, you need to come out of these things of groups. That is your biggest mistake. Many of you come to church and you think that God never deals with groups. Never. Read your Bible. God never deals with people as a group. Never. Individuals, one by one. On the day of judgment, God will not say, okay, I'm calling ABC, San City, all of you, also we all come there. Never. You die alone. You are born alone. And you die alone, and you will stand for judgment alone. So I don't know where you are getting this group thing. Where you say just because you come to church, you are feeling good. Meanwhile, when you are alone, you are not feeling good. Instead of you working on that issue of you not feeling good when you are alone, you are deceiving yourself with this group. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. God doesn't deal with groups. That's why people miss God. It's individuals. God does no favoritism. Everybody starts the same way. Let's go to verse 35. Let's now see where the things start changing. Are you enjoying this little preaching? In every nation. How many nations? I can't hear you. How many nations? I can't hear this side. How many nations? Does that include South Africa?
Yes.
Does that include Northwest?
Yes.
Does that include Rustenburg?
Yes.
Does that include Bojanala?
Yes.
Does that include Lidak, San City, Chaneng, Robeka, and Patsima, and all these things? Every nation.
Every nation.
Every nation. He accepts. So there is no nation where God does not accept a person. That because you are coming from that nation, I will not accept you. Every nation. I hope somebody is getting delivered.
Wow.
He accepts. Those. Peculiarity starts. The verse does not say he accepts everybody. No. Now we are starting. We all start the same way. But who will be the residence of his presence? Who? Not everybody. Please don't think everybody in this church has God. Don't even think everybody in this church is going to heaven. It's a choice. Don't choose for people. I will see you in heaven. If you will make it. I'm trying to make it. He accepts those who fear him. And who do what is right. Hey. Now you are getting God. It's not your color. It's not your nationality. It's not even your education. This is the condition. For God to accept you, you don't have to become white, colored, Indian, black. You don't need to become those things. Number one, fear him. Number two, do what is right. What on earth does this mean? Let's quickly take fearing God. Number one, what does it mean to fear God? First of all, it means you must believe that there is a higher power in this world. You must believe that you are not God. That there is a force that is higher than you and me. Greater than all of us.
You should believe that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It starts there. You believe there is a God. I don't need to see him. When I see what is around me, I believe there must be somebody who created this. There's no way this thing can just arrange themselves. I believe there is a God. Just based on nature, I see God. That's the first thing. Number two, what does it mean to fear God? It means I start adjusting my life to that belief that I have of him. Let me ask you a question. If you come to the house where I stay, and they say to you, Pastor is in the house. Amen? Isn't it that the fact that you are aware that I'm in the house is going to affect how you behave in the house? Obviously. I mean, there are certain things, even the way you will laugh. Like if you are laughing, and they say, Pastor, say, hey, even your laughter is going to go down like this. It's true. The presence of a person, you don't need to see the person. The moment you are told the person is there, it affects behavior. It affects behavior. So this, your believing in God, that does not affect your behavior, is a fallacy. For you to tell me, I believe in God, but it is not reflected in your behavior, then you don't really believe. Number three, attributing to God everything that is happening in your life is a proof that you believe and you fear him. When you look at your house, even though you bought it yourself, you can say, God gave me a house. You look at your son, and you look at your son, even though he came out of you, you say, God gave me a child. Uh-huh. You look at your job, even though you're the one who went for the interview, even though you're the one who was sweating, waiting for the taxi, when you look at your job, so God has blessed me with a job. When you attribute these fantastic things, not to your education, to God, it means you fear God. You attribute things to him. A proud man will never attribute anything to God, to themselves. That's why they don't tithe. Because they don't see the hand of God anywhere. Are you listening? So the fear of God affects actions and behavior. So the more you fear God, it will be reflected in you doing right things. And that is what is going to attract the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. Therefore, let me answer the question, who can house God? Who can contain God? I'm not the first one to ask that question. Psalm 24, verse 3. Let's quickly, we are closing now. We continue from here next week. Who may climb to the mountain of the Lord? And who may ascend in his holy mountain, his holy place? Who can do that? What are the criteria to ascending to that place where you carry God, where God is with you, where everything you say, he confirms it, and his hand is upon you the same way he was with Joseph. He is with you the same way he was with Moses. What does it take to carry God? What does it take for God to be with you? He showed you, you need to fear me,
And you also need to do what is right. But what does those two things mean in simple English in the 21st century in Lidakosan City?
This is what it means. Who can ascend? Number one.
Only.
So not everybody can ascend. Sorry.
Only those whose hands and hearts
are pure. Brothers and sisters, this is why a lot of people who come to church don't carry God.
It's not about coming to church, singing songs, raising your voice. You know, listen, those things are nice. But that is not what brings him.
You see now?
When we say only, it means that's a restricted group now. Those whose hands
are pure.
What does that mean, your hands are pure? Well, I'm sure you've heard the statement before. When somebody is trying to say he's innocent, my hands are what? My hands are clean. They don't say my legs are clean. He's trying to say this thing you are accusing me of, I didn't do it. And he uses his hands. He says, my hands are clean. What does your hand represent? Everything you get involved into. Do you get involved in things that are pure? The things your hands get involved into. This is where the presence of God starts flying away. It starts here. Your hands.
What are they involved into? Look at your hands. Look at them properly.
I'm sure you can see what they've been involved into.
What they have touched. What they have handled. Some of you don't even want to look at it. You're closing your eyes. You are doing like this. You don't want to look at them. Your hands. It's okay. Don't stop. Don't continue looking. You are not praying. I was just saying, look. It's okay.
Your hands are very important to God. What your life is involved into matters to God. It can determine whether he will come or he will stay off. So today, Christians just show up in church. And they have church, and they leave church, and they go and get involved in all kinds of business, all kinds of relationships, all kinds of things, and they don't care. Next day they come and have church again.
And they wonder why God is not there. Your hands.
Then the next one, your heart. Your heart. You see, even one of the most anointed prophets of the days of David almost missed God. His name was Samuel. Samuel went to do God's work, highly anointed, the horn is full of oil. And he's standing there, and there comes Eliab. Samuel says, wow, hey, this is the Lord's anointed standing before me. God says, no, 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 no. You are making a big mistake. Don't look at what you see. I have rejected that guy. Then he releases is a powerful statement. He says, you people look at the outward appearance. I, the Lord, I look at the hearts of the people. I'm sure you've asked yourself questions sometimes. How come this guy is so blessed? I mean, there's nothing blessing about this man. How come he has this?
The heart. The heart.
How come I'm so beautiful, I'm so majestic, and things are not happening? The heart. It is the heart he is after. You are after your body. He is after your heart. And you will see us fixing the body, making the body look nice. The body is smelling nice. We trim the nails. We cut the hair. We do she's cup. We do this other one with one arrow, two arrow, three arrow. We do all these fantastic things. And God is looking and saying, why are you wasting your time?
Your heart. It's a message. It's a message. It's a message. It's a message. It's a message.
The heart. Listen, God is not afraid of anybody. And you cannot force him to do anything. So as long as you are not following his condition, he doesn't come. That's why he gave us his word, to learn and to understand him. Stop wasting your energy out here. Look, I don't have a problem with it. But when you are wasting time here and you don't fix here,
you'll miss him. Your hands. Your heart.
Then the next group of things. Who will have God? Who will carry God?
The heart must be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God.
Guard your heart above all else, for out of it flows the issues of your life. I have 1,000 verses for you on that. Your heart is key. So when you smile outside and it's inside, you are jealous, it's a problem. When you look outside like you are beautiful, but inside you are ugly, it's a problem. It's good for you to come to a church like this, where the issues of your heart get addressed. Your inner issues. Number three, the person who do not worship idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything you love more than God. Anything in your life that you love more than God has become an idol.
Can be your wife, can be your husband, can be your child, can be your career, can be your car.
I remember a time in my life where I bought a car and the car became my idol.
Yeah.
I will wake up in the middle of the night. Hey, they want to steal my car. I go and check. Ooh, the car is still there. Okay. Idol. Your boyfriend has become an idol when you are checking his phone every 5 minutes. You are on his Facebook account every 30 minutes. You are doing patrol checks.
You are patrolling.
I don't know who hired you as a private investigator, but now you are doing patrolling. You are patrolling. Hey, you are coming with your AK-47s and you are having... So, if he makes a comment and a lady, instead of liking it, she reacts with a heart. You start investigation. What is this? But But I have never seen you take a scripture like that. Then you take a word. Then you take a dictionary. I have never seen you do that with the word of God. I have never, ever, ever seen you take a scripture and you start dissecting it the way you are doing with the Facebook. An idol has been born. An idol has been born. A lot of people, money is their idol. They love money. Can do anything for money. So an idol already has a presence in your life. God cannot come. There's already a presence. Idol is not just juju and muti. No. There are very clean idols every day. They smell nice, but it's an idol. I'm helping you understand why it could be that the presence of God is compromising your life. These are the things that compromise his presence. Some people, food is an idol. That's why they can never fast. You see, when you talk fast, you are talking Chinese. They don't understand what they're talking about. Like, you see, what is he saying? Chinese. Food is an idol. When they see food, they forget Jesus. That's why they don't pray before they eat, because just before, they can't wait. Some people are fasting, but they are not fasting for the fasting. They are fasting for Sunday. They are fasting for Sunday. Like, Sunday is coming. Sunday. Sunday, where are you? We've already planned what we're going to start with. Then the next thing we're going to eat. Like, you've got it. I feel sorry for the chicken licking and all these things. I feel sorry for the first piece of chicken that is going to enter your mouth. Hey! I feel sorry. I don't know whether you're going to even chew it. The way you are preparing yourself. Hey! Mercy. The last one. Those who never tell lies. Aibo. Is it a verse? Is it in the Bible? Am I reading well? People who never tell lies. People who carry God don't tell lies. And today, believers, professional liars. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Amen. Even your face is a lie. The name on your Facebook account is a fake name. Is us today. Prophet, that we are lying like we are breathing. You know, there is a guy when I was growing up back home. That guy, I have never forgotten that guy. That guy lied so much that none of us that were in the same class with him, we never wanted to be near him. Because if you spend 1 hour, the type of headaches you're going to have by the time he's done, you will never recover. And I didn't understand, why is it that when you spend time with this guy, you end up with a headache? But today, after investigating the scriptures, I understand. The Bible says, Satan is the father of lies. Therefore, anybody that invests himself in lies, Satan is never far from such a person. You know, when you go to the hospital, the doctor doesn't need to catch you to know what is wrong with you. He sits with you and he starts asking you questions. And he starts writing down. What is he writing down? He's doing a diagnosis. He's using symptoms on you to determine what is in you. When you want to know the presence of the devil in a person, God gave us the number one key. If you want to know how close Satan is to a person, check the lie level. The more the person lies, the closer Satan is to that person. The detective device you need to use to see how close a person is from satanic activity is lies. Because the Bible says Satan is the father of lies. So anybody that lies has a father. How can God be there when Satan is already there? How? We have lied so much that today we lie in the church. We lie in the church. Many people here have given empty envelopes in this church before. Ashes, am I lying or am I talking? Empty envelopes, empty. Empty envelopes, nothing inside. Many people stood here and they don't tithe. They are lying. Many people come with envelope, they say, this is my tithe, but it's not 10%. They're lying. John 8:44. Put it on the screen. You must know the scriptures, please. I have heard stories of people standing on stage and lying on a testimony. Lying. Standing there. I was broke. My leg was broken. Now I can walk. Look, look. I'm not saying every testimony is like that. But some people today don't fear God. Remember the verse says, who will ascend? Who will ascend? You are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. You see, Satan hates the truth. Anybody in this church that hates the truth, I'm showing you your father. Because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and a father of lies. So every time you are speaking a lie, know who your father is. Know who your father is. When you come to pastor and you are telling pastor lies. Yeah. Many times people are talking to me and they're lying. They're lying. They're lying. Not that pastor, but they are not noting nothing. Lying. The father of lies. And this is one of the reasons why the glory has departed. Because people don't fear God. They lie as if lies are jokes. There are people listening to me now. He has proposed to 3 different ladies. Comes to this one. You're my world. When I see you, I see 3 stars at the same time. And I ask God, what are these 3 stars? He says, star 1 is your left eye. Star 2 is your right eye. Star 3 is your mouth. Let me kiss it. Then he goes to the other sister in the other part of town. When I see you, I see 3 stars. And I ask God, what is the meaning of this star? Same lie. And she said, oh, stupid girl. You don't understand yourself. Stupid girl. You are receiving deliverance in the name of Jesus. Many people hear life like they're breathing. Surname is a lie. Age is a lie. The everything is a lie. Lie. Use mascara all the time. Lying. You don't show the. When are we going to see your real face? When are we going to see your real? When? When am I going to see your real hair? Your real hair. Every day is weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. When? My God! I told you the story of this guy who used to sing in the choir. Nice voice. And the brother saw her and said, wow. Baby, you are my world. I want to marry you. He says, no problem. I've been praying about it. And God says, yes. So I also say, yes. Lobola, everything finished. Honeymoon. Pam, they are there. So the brother is about to. Shut up. Listen. The brother is about to start manifestations. And you know, the sister is taking it easy. And the brother is, she's taking it easy. She starts here, start unscrewing. Then she put there. One leg is out. Then she start unscrewing. The brother stopped moving. He looks. Sister. What is happening? He said, you know, I had an accident. I didn't think it was necessary to tell. I get it, you love me. I had an accident. I lost a leg. I lost a few body parts. But I've replaced them with wooden ones. So if you were careful, you could have noticed that I don't walk okay. So... But that is not why we are here. I get it. You love me. Come. So I always encourage the brothers. Before you say, would you marry me? Ask her. Those eyes. Are they yours? It's a question. It's an important question. Ask those legs, are they yours? Don't ask about the hair. You already know it's not her hair, so don't embarrass the sister, please. I mean, you already know it's not her hair. Why are you asking her such a question? Praise God. May you become a man and a woman of truth. The Bible says, walk in the truth Our Father is a Father of truth. We must represent our Father. Listen to me. Sometimes we tell lies to avoid punishment. But the punishment you get from lying is worse than the punishment you get from speaking the truth. May God give us grace to become children of truth. People who speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love. In love. But we must speak the truth. Learn to speak the truth. The truth is the what sets people free. Not lies. It's the truth. The truth is what sets you free. The knowledge of it. This thing the church is turning into is a terrible thing. Pastors stand on stage and lies. Congregations are lying. People are buying cars on credit and they are saying it's their cars. Houses. You are living a lie. You are living beyond your means. You can't afford that thing. But you need to show to the people that you are something. So you go and entangle yourself in a big lie. Start small. There's nothing wrong in starting small. Even God started small. You don't need to impress anybody. You don't need to drive a car you don't own. I'd rather have you stay in a shack and it's your shack than to stay in a suit but it doesn't belong to you. Are you listening to me? I'm saying start with a shack. If it is your shack, through my teachings, the shack will one day become a palace. Through teaching, the shack will become a palace. But if you are staying in a rented house, you pay 5,000 every month. 16,000, 20,000. Every month you are paying that money. And it's a rented house. One day you are taken out of the house and you have built houses for another person. We will take your money. We don't mind. Multiplication involves a change of character. This word God sent to us is for you. If you dare to receive it, it's for you. God wants your character to change. Go home and tell mommy, you know what? We don't need to continue. You know, look at that plasma TV. DSTV will pay 1,000 rent a month. We don't even watch 5 channels. My DSTV is how much? 99 rent, my DSTV in my house. I pay 100 rent every month for DSTV. And God has blessed me. I have a job. My wife has a job. We can afford DSTV, Optimum, whatever you call it. If I want it, I can have it. I don't need it. 100 rand, I have my TBN, I have my One Gospel, I have my Daystar, I have the things I like. And I'm okay. And I never watch it if to start with. But when now you are having all the channels, can you watch all those channels? Why can't you tomorrow go and reduce that money? It will help you have loaf, bread of loaf, at least for a whole week or even 2 weeks. Just the money you are spending on DSTV can buy bread the whole month. I'm just telling you. Receive wisdom in the name of Jesus. Receive wisdom. Break out of these lies. Listen to me. I didn't start driving today. When I came to South Africa, I had a hernia inside my body. A hernia is something you develop when you have worked too hard. I had hernia. Meanwhile, I never had a job. I was a job hunter all my life. I couldn't get a job. How did I get hernia? I used to walk these legs. I will walk for miles and miles. No money for taxi. It's not a problem. Today, people see me drive a BMW. They think I was born in a BMW. These legs walked for years. For years, I walked.
I walked.
I developed a hernia. I was operated here at Fincris because my system couldn't handle the walk anymore. Yeah. Small walk, you're already tired. You need a car. Then you need to go in and indebt yourself. Meanwhile, you can handle taxes for now. Yeah, you can try. As long as you don't owe anybody, you're okay. And one day you buy your car second hand, even third hand. Who cares? Start there. People will laugh at you. You are moving. One day you move to second hand. And another day, you buy it brand new and it doesn't touch you. It doesn't even affect you. Yeah. Brand new, you can get to that level. Anything you get before the right time is a lie. You are lying to yourself. You are living a lie. You are 15. This is time to study. You want boyfriend. You are lying to yourself. You are calling something that is not supposed to be here now. Listen to me. Just because you have two lemons on top here, just because you have two lemons, doesn't mean you need to be squeezed. Are you listening to me? When you are 15, 16, 17, this is the time to be in your books. The only book is the Bible and your books. That's all. That's all. The time for love will come and you will be ready. You will have finished your university. You would have had your degree. You would have even started working. Even the guy that is coming will respect you. But this thing, the things are squeezed every day. By the time the real guy arrives, the things are now flat. They are finished. You are receiving wisdom in the name of Jesus. You are receiving wisdom in the name of Jesus. You are receiving wisdom. You are receiving. Listen, don't rush anything. God knows you have the lemons. He is aware. He is aware. Everybody can see. Please, relax. Tell your neighbor, take it easy. Take it easy. Relax. We can all see that you have something. The time will come. Amen. Amen. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Your prayer this morning, Father, I want your presence. Yes. All we are talking about is the presence of God and what it takes to carry his presence. Hallelujah. I believe there are a few people here this morning that are desperate for his presence. Father, I want your presence in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, worship him. Bow down and worship him. Bow down and worship. Worship. Let us worship. Oh.